The drive continues with Need to Know Basis on TSN 1200.
Welcome back to The Drive here on TSN 1200. Lever Sage Matt Conesvito with you. Here is what you need to know. And if you're a Senators fan, you need to know that Artem Zub is going to be out 3 to 4 weeks with a fractured jaw. And we'll see how the Senators can deal with that starting tomorrow night against the LA Kings at home before they go to Dallas and to Nashville. Earlier today at the World Cup, Croatia on penalties bested Japan to get to the quarterfinals. And then Brazil just finished up with Korea 4-1. It was 4-0 at halftime. Some pretty big baseball news. The Philadelphia Phillies and Trey Turner have agreed to an 11-year, $300 million deal. Justin Verlander, a 2-year, $86 million deal to pitch for the New York Mets. And the New York Yankees re-signed Brian Cashman, their GM, for another 4 years. As Nathan Rourke visits the Denver Broncos and the Jacksonville Jaguars, Baker Mayfield will no longer play for the Carolina Panthers. He was released today and is available on waivers. And interesting how many teams would be ahead of the San Francisco 49ers, including the Seattle Seahawks and the LA Rams. Would somebody claim Baker Mayfield to not let Baker Mayfield go to San Francisco? Prorated, he would make another $1.3 million on the cap. The Ottawa Redblacks have officially hired Baron Miles as their new defensive coordinator. And having worked with Bob Dice in the past, Bob Dice saying about Baron Miles, having worked with and against Baron in the past, I've seen how he builds great relationships and communicates his vision for success with his players. I believe we will all benefit from his high energy and direct coaching style. And speaking of coaches for the Ottawa Redblacks, Kahari Jones will be our guest coming up at 4:30 this afternoon. And I kind of tease this a little bit before, but there are a number of games in the NHL tonight, Matt. And what do we look at as one of the best? Well, the Vancouver Canucks right now struggling again after putting together a nice streak. They host the Montreal Canadiens. That is a 10:30 start tonight. Vegas in Boston, the return of Bruce Cassidy to Boston, and both teams just killing it so far. Bruins are 20-3 on the year. Vegas is 18-7-1. Has to be the premier matchup in the National Hockey League. And, of course, here on TSN 1200 this evening, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. If you're going to listen, love to know why. Maybe you're a big Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, but they do lead their division at 5-6. So I guess there's that. And that's a long list, Matt, of what you need to know.
A lot of good stuff in there, Lee. A lot of good stuff.
Will you be watching the 5-6 division-leading Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a minus point differential of -3, but lead their division against the 4-8 New Orleans Saints?
I will not be sitting down to watch this one start to finish. Zero chance.
Okay.
Will I watch the fourth quarter? Maybe. There's a chance. There's a chance I'll watch the second half of this
game. Can I sell you on the fact that the New Orleans Saints season is on the line?
No.
Okay. I was going to add to that, but...
Yeah.
So, incredibly, I don't know if people know this. I mean, in the loss column, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers lead by a couple. But they have 5 wins. Atlanta just keeps shooting themselves in the foot by losing the last couple of weeks. They also have 5 wins. Carolina and New Orleans have 4 wins. If the Saints beat the Buccaneers tonight, they will tie Tampa with 5 wins, and they will bring Tampa back to 7 losses, which would be one less loss. Tampa still to go on a bye. Or sorry, New Orleans still to go on a bye. And Tampa still has to play. So New Orleans could be in the win column, tied for the division lead if they win tonight. But if they lose, it's season overtime. I can't sell you on the New Orleans Saints. Season on the brink. Watch it. Listen to it. 8 o'clock tonight. TSN 1200. Season.
Probably not. Oh.
Claude. Okay, well then let's go back and talk about the biggest game of the weekend. Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals. What a throw on 3rd down and 11 from Joe Burrow to salt the game away against Kansas City. But what that did was put the Buffalo Bills back up in the number one slot in the AFC because, of course, they've beaten Kansas City. Both teams 9-3. Baltimore Ravens have lost Lamar Jackson. We'll see for how long. They won a thriller yesterday, 10-9, over the Denver Broncos. But then you have Cincinnati at 8-4 as well. So Baltimore, because they've beaten Cincinnati, lead, but Cincy and Baltimore both 8-4. The Dolphins are 8-4. And then you get the Titans leading their division at 7-5. And the New York Jets are 7-5. Like the Jets. That team's in the playoffs right now.
They got a legit defense.
Yeah, they do.
Didn't do so great against the Lions, their defense. I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch a minute of that game.
No.
But
why would you?
I wouldn't.
Right.
But I think their defense is pretty legit, even though they gave up. They didn't play the Lions. They played the Vikings.
It's the same team. Vikings, Lions.
Mm.
Same division.
Same division.
They both stink.
Yeah. Except the Vikings just keep winning. They just keep finding ways to win.
Yeah. They're going to be the team, though, that goes into the playoffs that not one person will pick.
Every single person will bet against Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. And so you wonder if that actually helps them.
Yeah. But nobody believes in us team.
Well, that's because you stink. Dallas showed you how bad you are. Like, they're awful. But they do win games. The point I'm trying to make here, though, about the Buffalo Bills is that they're 9-3. And here's their schedule. Home against the Jets, home against Miami. Big couple of games before they're at Chicago. Obviously a very winnable game for them. Then at Cincinnati.
Oh, that's a big game.
The second last game of the year.
Penultimate.
Before they host the New England Patriots.
Not an easy schedule.
No.
For the Buffalo Bills the rest of the way.
But if they win out, they obviously will have home field and be able to have the AFC playoffs go through Buffalo, which I would think would be a major, major advantage for them.
You know what the problem with that is, though? Because they need to win out. And as you laid out, like, can they win every one of those games? Yes. Are any of them, except for maybe at Chicago, like, feel like I can mark this in the win column? Probably not, right? Is that fair?
Yep.
Let's take a look at the Chiefs' schedule.
Yeah, just had it up.
At Broncos.
That's a win.
At Texans.
That's a win.
Home to the Seahawks.
That's okay. We'll see. That game could mean everything for Seattle. So I'm not going to put that one in the absolute category.
Okay. Home to the Broncos.
Oh, they got the Denver Broncos twice.
And at the Raiders.
Oh, God.
So, like, yes, Bills fans, you're first right now. But I don't know. I don't know. When you're looking at remaining schedule, it's going to be tough to outwin the Chiefs down the stretch. It's certainly possible, but that
not probable.
Not probable. So I hate to rain on the Bills fans' parade.
Here's the other thing I think that's going to be difficult with the major injuries. So Jimmy Garoppolo goes down. He's out for the year. Broken foot. And Brock Purdy is the guy.
Mr. Irrelevant. Suddenly, Mr. Relevant. A joke I've heard 8 kajillion times.
Well, they said that on the broadcast.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I've heard it. I've seen it on Twitter. Chris Holsky from CFRA. Huge, huge Niners fan. He was all over that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
My pal Richie, huge Niners fan. Some of our texters are Niners fans.
Their next three games, though, Tampa, which will be difficult because Tampa will need that win desperately. When have you ever gone into a game and not known who's going to win between Tom Brady and Brock Purdy? But you actually don't, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Tom Brady's going to face Brock Purdy next week. Who's going to win? Not sure.
Christian McCaffrey might win.
Yeah. Then they're at Seattle, San Francisco, which for Brock Purdy and that noise and all the things that it can be to play in Seattle. And then they got a little easier schedule coming down the stretch with Washington, the Raiders, and Arizona. But again, to me, it's one thing. Like, this was, and I don't want to compare it too much because I know different leagues. Do you know what happened when Caleb Evans came in the game? For the first time?
Like three touchdown, bing, bang, boom. Three touchdown drives.
Three drives?
Yeah.
Three touchdowns.
Yeah.
34-14. Red Blacks beat the Elks. Caleb Evans, he's the new star in town. Until you watch tape on him.
Yeah.
And you're actually expecting him to play. And then you do some things, of course, to limit what he's good at. And now you have a whole different quarterback. And I'm not saying that, I mean, guys come out of nowhere all the time. No more than the team that I follow. And their last two quarterbacks, Dak Prescott and Tony Romo, mm-hmm. came out of nowhere to be the star quarterbacks for their team.
I mean, he's not doing great right now, but think about Russell Wilson in Seattle.
Yep.
The Seahawks go out and sign Matt Flynn to a monster deal after he set the Packers record for touchdowns in a game in a meaningless final game of the season. And Russell Wilson, when did they draft him? Like
Third round? Yeah.
And got this quarterback making all this money, and you know what? We got to go with Russ. Russ sort of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Unseated the big money guy. Now, we do have a text, 12-1200, standard messaging rate supply, from Niners fan Nino, who said, "We're good with Purdy. Just manage the game and minimize the mistakes with McCaffrey, Debo, and Kittle. He's got options for the short, high-percentage passes, or you can run the ball."
You know what, Nino?
The thing I'll say in his defense before you respond
mm-hmm.
is, are we really, like, is it that calamitous that Jimmy Garoppolo's done for the season?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
The guy who forgot where the back of the end zone was and conceded a safety by accident? And, like, all Jimmy G does is win games, but, like, he wins games as a game manager. And so if ever there was a team that you can survive with a game-managing quarterback, it's the Niners.
You're not wrong. And Nino's doing that. I know Nino. So Nino's doing that to, like, pump himself up and pump Niners fans up.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the issue. Brock Purdy can absolutely go out and beat with the rest of how good that defense is. It's a top, whatever you want to call it, 3-5 defense in the league. With all of the weapons, with Debo and McCaffrey and Kittle and all these guys, they're really good. So they
can you win a Super Bowl, though?
They can win, and they could probably beat anybody in the NFC. But can you beat three teams in the playoffs in the NFC? Because you're going to, with four losses already, you're going to play on the first weekend, and you're probably going to play someone decent. Because Tampa's going to win their division. They're going to finish fourth. almost assuredly. Then you're going to have the Cowboys. You might have, like, who Minnesota's going to play, who San Francisco and Tampa would play, because right now it looks that way. It looks like Philly's going to finish first, Mini second, San Francisco third, and Tampa fourth. Well, now you got Dallas as the number five team. The Giants or Washington? Washington's good. I know people don't think they are, but they're good. I guess my point is I don't know if Brock Purdy, with all the teams that are really good on defense as well, that can watch tape on them, and asking him in a big spot to not make any mistakes as a game manager is not an easy thing. They can beat anybody in the NFC.
Now the problem, in a one game spot. Now the problem, trade deadline's passed.
Yep.
So your options to go out and get a quarterback are not great.
Nope.
If I'm the Niners, and I'm not the Niners, I'm not a Niners fan, so as a Packers fan, 100% I want to see San Francisco go out and get Baker Mayfield. If I'm a Niners fan, I do not want Baker anywhere near my team.
I would agree. Nowhere near.
Who was it that I saw, a veteran guy, I think he was on Tampa's practice squad, that the Niners went out and signed? It's one of those guys who's like, feels like he's been in the league for a million
years.
Josh
Johnson?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. He has been. And you know why he's not in the league right now? Because he's no good.
Mm-hmm.
But
again, you need depth now. Because what happens, Brock Purdy is your third string guy, last pick in the draft. You've lost Trey Lance for the season. You've lost Jimmy Garoppolo, who you wanted to trade, couldn't get anyone to bite on him. You've lost him. You need bodies. Because what happens if Brock Purdy gets hurt?
Well, Jacob Eason takes over.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, but if I had said before, if Jacob Eason came in the game, well, what happens if Jacob Eason gets hurt? Well, Brock Purdy plays.
Like, right. And then what happens after that? Whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
So
anyway, they're going to be a tough team to beat, but I don't know that they can run the table. That's with Jimmy Garoppolo, they could have run the table in an NFC that might not be that strong, but has some good defenses. Philly's defense is really good. Dallas's defense is really good. And both teams can run the ball. So it's great for you to say, we have a great defense and we can run the ball with McCaffrey and we can manage the game. So we can have the ball like, you know, 30, 35 minutes a game. Well, you know who else has the ball 30, 35 minutes a game? Philly, Dallas, and some of the other teams that can run the ball and play defense. I love how we're not including Minnesota in this.
No, that's of
actually,
course not.
It's actually my favorite part of this discussion. It's like they're the number two team in the NFC, but they're so bad. The Niners could have won the Super Bowl, and unfortunately, they can't win the Super Bowl, I don't think, right now. They can do damage in the playoffs. They can beat anybody, but it's going to be tough for them in the last five games of the year for them to be in a spot. Like, do you think they're going to go 5-0? No. So now they're going to be in a spot where you don't even know if they're going to win their division. I don't know. A lot of uncertainty there for me with Brock Purdy. And again, they're a good team. But the Seahawks only have one more loss than they do. And I just don't know that San Francisco is going to be able to do this. Kahari Jones is the offensive coordinator of your Ottawa Redblacks. And he joins us next here on The Drive on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to The Drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
Welcome back to The Drive, Lever Sage. Matt Conazvita with you. The Gabriel Pizza Hotline we go to, and we welcome to Ottawa the new offensive coordinator and associate coach with the Ottawa Redblacks, Kahari Jones. First question, how many times have you been interviewed that Mr. Jones was the song coming into the interview?
I have to say this isn't the first time. I'll just go there. it's been a few, but that was very nice. It's been a while. It has.
See, our producer, Matt, here decided that he was going to come back with that song. And I said to him, how many times do you think he has heard this song being interviewed? I'm like, you couldn't come up with anything new. He's like, well, when we've had other people on before, and sometimes you think they haven't heard it, and or they have and they haven't. Anyway, you know what? We'll get a better song for you.
I still enjoy it. Not a problem.
We'll get something better for you. So let's talk about the process here of you coming in and being the offensive coordinator for the Ottawa Red Blacks. How did this all shake out? It's been a heck of a year for you, Montreal, Hamilton, and now Ottawa.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. You know, I've gone a few places. So yeah, we know how it, you know, ended with Montreal, and had a great time in Hamilton, being a consultant for the year and helping them where I could. And then, just got to the off season and started talking. I was, you know, I was in the running for the head coaching job in Ottawa, and I'm really happy for Bobby Dice. He's been a coach in this league for a long time, and been a great coach in this league, and I definitely deserved the opportunity to take that interim off. He's had it a couple of times, and so I was really happy for him, and you know, he gave me a call and let me know he went, it was as simple as that. You know, there were other options on the table, but I felt really good about coming and being part of Bobby's staff, I'm really happy with the decision.
So tell us about the process. As you said, you were in contention for the head coach, what it was like kind of going through that process, and then, you know, being able to get the call from a guy that you've known really well in Bob Dice, that just because you're not the head coach doesn't mean you couldn't be a big part of the team.
Yeah, that was the main thing, you know. So I was really, just first honored to be a part of the coaching decision there to be the head coach. I had a really nice interview with Sean Burke and his crew and felt good about it and everything. But I wasn't hurt at all that it did go to Coach Dice. Like I said, I've known him since 2000, I think 2000 or 2001, when I was still playing in Winnipeg, and he came in as a coach, and so I have the utmost respect for him. Coached with him for 2 years in Saskatchewan, and we've known each other forever. And so yeah, it was as soon as we kind of got to talking, and you know, you find out beforehand that, you know, that he's thinking about you, as I was thinking about him if I was going to be the head coach, of course. And then once it happened, it went rather quickly from there. And so happy overall with the process.
What makes Bob Dice such a great leader? He's been here for 7 years. He mm-hmm. took over as the interim head coach. Why do people want to either play for or work for Bob Dice?
Well, I think it just starts with the person he is. I think he's just a good, solid human being. You know, he just he's, you know, as solid as a coach as it gets, and you know, he puts his time into it, and special teams were always going to be great, but the guys just respond to him, and he doesn't put on airs. He doesn't try to be something that he isn't. He just goes and is real comfortable with himself, and I think guys appreciate that. They know that when coaches aren't necessarily themselves all the time, or when they kind of have major highs and major lows. And he's not like that. He's a very steady person, and the players are always going to respect that. And I think the fans and the city of Ottawa have come to embrace him. And so I'm really happy to be a part of his crew.
You've had a long playing career here in the CFL and a long coaching career. So now, what makes you a better coach and a play caller now than you were previously?
Yeah, it's just experience. It's just being a part of so many, you know, teams, and not a player and a coach, and absorbing things as I've gone along. And I'm really comfortable with who I am too, you know, and still learning, still picking things up. So again, it was nice to be able to see, you know, how Hamilton runs things and how they do things over there, and getting to talk to other people around the league, and so it was, you know, even though I was let go in Montreal, I still thought of it as a great learning experience, and I feel like I'm better for it, and so When I come into Ottawa, I can't wait. I feel like I got a good crew to work with there, and yeah, we'll see where it ends up. But I'm really happy about the situation that I find myself in Ottawa.
Can you tell us a little bit more about being the head coach in Montreal, what that is like, and does that let you now as offensive coordinator kind of be able to have Bob Dice lean on you a little bit because you understand what it's like to be in that spot?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, it was great. I really enjoyed my time as a head coach in Montreal. I thought we did some really good things there, you know, with the 2 years, two full years that I was there. We went to the playoffs both years, and that previously it had been a long time since the team had gone to the playoffs. And to finish out of there, you know, despite being fired, to finish with a winning record, I'm really proud of that. And I learned a lot. I learned a great deal about you know, how to deal with players and different situations that go on. And so yeah, hopefully I'm somebody that Coach Dice can lean on when he needs it. And I'll be there to help him in any way I can. And I was really honored to, you know, be named assistant head coach as well. And I'm gonna help him to be successful and help this team to be successful. So no, I learned a lot in Montreal, and I know it'll go a long way towards helping him in Ottawa here.
Does anybody know more about the CFL East than you?
I know. I've taken the tour, right? So every. Well, it's crazy because, you know, I was just thinking about it, and there's only one other team now that I haven't been associated with in the CFL, and that's Toronto. You know, I've either been a player or a coach with every team. So I know Kevin Glenn has that distinction as a player to be everywhere, but I'm catching up with him. But I'd like to be here for a long time, and so hopefully that stops for a while. But yeah, the East, I can tell you about a lot of the players intimately. I've seen them and everything, and so yeah, I'm looking forward to still being a part of the East.
And it shouldn't go unnoticed. Baron Miles named defensive coordinator for the Ottawa Redblacks. You know Baron Miles pretty well. What will he add?
Yeah, well, he's a great coach. You know, I hired him as a D coordinator myself in Montreal, and so I have a lot of confidence in him, and I know Bobby does too. And we've all worked together. We all worked together in Saskatchewan, and so. He's a great coach. He's very good with the players. He's stern. He knows what he wants. He's going to push his guys to be better and put in as much time necessary to get the right results. And so, I knew all about him. I didn't even have to say anything because Bobby knew him already, but, it's nice to have him on board as well. And I think it's shaping up to be a good crew, and now we just gotta put everything in place.
In the CFL, what does it mean to have that crew as the head coach, the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, when you go out to recruit players and free agency and the foundation of a team? Nobody would know that kind of more than you. What does it mean to have that foundation that you are now a part of?
Yeah, I think it's big. Just because the players know that, you know, there's going to be stability. There's going to be people that they feel like they can trust and they know. And you know, the league is small. And I tell people, you know, if you want to know about me, ask about anybody I've ever worked with. Ask anyone I've worked with a long time, or I've had to let go, or I've had to release. And I think I've been the same person. I can say that about Baron, and I can say that about Bobby Dice. And so I think when players see that and know that they're going to get a fair shot, that they're going to get an opportunity to be successful, that, you know, with Baron and I, we're players ourselves. And so we've been in their shoes and know what it is in being the CFL, and with Coach Dice being in the league as long as he is, he knows these players intimately. And so I think that goes a long way when you're trying to sell people to a program. They're going to see that there's a lot of stability over here, and then there's the opportunity to win.
Kahari Jones joining us here on The Drive, a new offensive coordinator and assistant head coach for the Ottawa Redblacks. What is the one most important thing that a play caller can do?
Ooh, that's a big one. I think the biggest for me is just to make sure that I'm
things that my quarterback is capable of doing, that he feels good with and comfortable with. I mean, you can draw up a lot of plays. You can do, you know, almost anything out there. But to get a good feel for how the quarterback is playing and how he's feeling on that particular day, to know when when it's time to air it out, when it's time to play it a little safer, all of those things. I think it definitely starts with your quarterback and just having that good relationship from the very beginning. And so I'm looking forward to working with Jeremiah. I've really enjoyed seeing him from afar over the years, and think he's been a great quarterback in this league, and now to have the opportunity to work with him is going to be pretty special.
So you've never had a specific relationship with Jeremiah Masoli, so you're both CFL vets going into this kind of for the first time?
Yeah, and that's exciting. It's exciting because, I've worked with, I can't even remember how many quarterbacks and starting quarterbacks over the years. I've worked with quite a bit of them, and he is one of those guys, like I said, that I've always looked at and said, hey, if I get an opportunity to work with him, I think we'd match up really well. We're both from the West Coast. He's from San Francisco, I'm from Sacramento, about an hour and a half away, and so we know a lot of the same areas and everything, and kind of have that same vibe, I think. So I can't wait to get together with him. I think it's going to be nice.
How difficult is it in football with the balance of what, the experience of an offensive coordinator and what you might think is something that will be successful, and then having to adapt to what the players can do to be successful? Because you might have a million great ideas, but if it can't be executed by the players, it's going to be awfully tough.
Yeah. And that's the balancing act that you play as a coordinator. And I mean, you're just trying to find the right pieces to the puzzle. And you have the plays, you have the thoughts, you have the ideas, but then it comes down to the players. And then it's like, okay, do you have time to implement what you want to do, or do you need to wait? Do you need to cut back? And so those are all things that I've learned. And I think I'm aware of those things also because of being a player, because of being a quarterback in the league for a long time. I kind of know it from that side of things, so I can tell when a guy is might be struggling with something, when he has it really down pat, and I can call this play over and over again because I know he can make the right decisions. And so those are things that I have to work with as an OC.
Why is it difficult to be a quarterback in the Canadian Football League?
Oh gosh, how much time do you have? My goodness. Well, you know what? I think the biggest thing is it is so tough because of the time. Because everything that you're trying to do as a quarterback, you have to figure it out in 2.5 seconds, maybe 3 seconds if you're lucky. And that's what I don't think people really understand about the position. It looks like when a guy is doing it great, and when it looks easy, it's not. It's really not. And you have to put so much time into the position. You have to put so much time into thinking about every possible thing that can happen on the field. Are they blitzing? Are they playing? Who's moving where? Who's coming off? Who's free? And you have to do this all in 2.5 seconds. And so, again, it's so much easier from the couch. It's so much easier from behind the quarterback. But when you get in there, when you have to physically perform something over and over again in that amount of time, it is difficult. And, I mean, not to mention that, 250 to 300-pound guys are trying to hit and knock you silly and stuff. So it's a lot. But the guys that do it well, they just can make it look easy, but know that it's never easy. It always takes a lot of time to be a special quarterback.
You should see how easy it is being part of the media, but you would know that you've been a part of the media before, Kahari, right?
I have. I won't say it's a little easier to be a quarterback. It's just a bit. You don't take the you feel better after the game usually, but it's a little different.
Last one here for you. For Ottawa, they have really, really struggled at home over the past few years. What is it like when you've been a part of other teams coming to Ottawa? Why you think other teams have had success here, and what this club might be able to do in the future to be able to change it?
Yeah, well, we just have to come together and really make it a place that you know feels like home. And you know, I know Bobby's going to have some ideas. I know we'll have ideas, and we'll make sure. As an opponent, I've always loved you know, coming to Ottawa and playing it, and not just because, you know, we had success there, but because it's just a good atmosphere, and you know, the fans are you know, rowdy, and we want to give the fans a reason to be excited. It's an entertainment business, and so I've always liked having an entertaining offense, and so hopefully we can do some things that bring the fans out, that give us a true home field advantage. So when we're playing at home, people know that they're in for a battle.
It's always hard to hear, I think, for Red Blacks fans, why it's so great for everybody else to come to town over the last day. Like, oh, we love coming to Ottawa. Like, yeah, we know you beat the Red Blacks all the time, but you also mentioned it's an entertainment business. And one of the things that I didn't know about you was your entertainment background. Like actor, like made for TV movies. I mean, media. You doing a lot of things, Kahari Jones. Tell us about what it did for you to be an actor and why you like doing that.
Yeah. Well, it started in college. You know, I was redshirting in football and decided to take an acting class and just took to it and started. Yeah, I got into plays in college, and so I'd go right from football in the fall to acting in the winter in spring, and so it stayed with me. It's something that I've done in San Francisco. Like you said, I've done some commercials, I've done made for TV movies, all those things, and that's just something I enjoy. You know, I met my wife acting in college, and that's something that you know, I just like to stay busy. I'm not a guy who sits around much, so. That was one of those things that, hey, you give me some time and I'm gonna figure out something else to do. So yeah, I've been acting for years, and you know, don't get to do it too much with football, but you know, I did a couple of commercials during the pandemic, and that was enjoyable. And so when I can fit it in, I try to make it happen.
Well, when it comes to football, I know that when you were unfortunately let go in Montreal, there were people clamoring to get you here to fix what was going on with the Ottawa Redblacks. And now it might have taken a little bit longer, but you are finally here, offensive coordinator and associate coach with the Ottawa Redblacks. Kahari Jones, welcome to Ottawa. We can't wait to talk to you further and be able to get some success on the field. Looks like you got a great staff.
Well, I appreciate it. I can't wait to get there. And yeah, Ottawa fans, be ready. We're coming.
Thanks so much, Kahari.
All right, thank you.
Kahari Jones, offensive coordinator and associate coach of the Ottawa Redblacks on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. I don't know what you got out of that extremely good interview of 18 minutes. Matt, I got out of it that he had heard Mr. Jones a lot. And maybe you need to switch
He's
it
being
up.
Being polite. All right, I got I was playing one for him and also for you.
Yeah.
Because I had another song that he probably hasn't heard, but you're going to hate it. And I'll come back next segment with it and run it by you and see if you hate it as much as I expected you to.
Well, we were bopping along before the interview.
Oh, love Kenny Crows.
You know what? Great experience for Kahari Jones. And again, I understand from a Red Blacks fan point of view, all of this doesn't matter until you start winning on the field. And they can't do that until June. But doesn't that seem like a really good, experienced guy that can help you win football games with all of his experience? Head coach, player, OC. Now he can help Bob Dice. Barron Miles, who he hired in Montreal to be his defensive coordinator, is now here as well. Feels good, I think. If you're a Red Blacks fan, let us know. 12-1200. I can't believe that you wouldn't be happy with Bob Dice, Kahari Jones, and Barron Miles as your coaches. But let us know how you feel. Back with more of The Drive on TSN 1200.
The Drive continues on TSN 1200.
This is what you were going to come up with, Bob Dylan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. There are no other songs about Mr. Jones, or this is it?
This is the other one that comes to mind for me, a little Ballad of a Thin Man. I love some Bobby Dylan.
Well, that makes one of us.
Off of Highway 61 Revisited.
You can actually understand what he sings about?
Of course.
Okay, good. Some people can't.
Well, some people are wrong.
No, I said they couldn't understand what he was saying.
Come on,
that doesn't
you can
make them
totally
wrong.
Totally understand what he's saying.
In some of his songs.
Yeah. In this one, you can understand what he's saying.
Okay, not in every Bob Dylan song.
Fair. Now, I'll tell you, I could not understand what he was singing when I saw him live. He was horrible. Took me like 3 verses to realize he was playing like a Rolling Stone. He stood in the back at his keyboard. He didn't play guitar or harmonica once the entire show. He was awful, awful, awful when I saw him live. Huh. One of the most disappointing performances I've ever seen. But the good news was the Foo Fighters opened for him, played a completely acoustic set, and were unbelievable.
Me and Mr. Jones, song by Amy Winehouse.
Okay. I know Me and Mrs. Jones, which is a great tune.
Mr. Jones by the Talking Heads.
Okay. Oh, that's a good one. Basketball Jones coming in on text. I could play some Aqua for you.
I do agree, though. You had to start with the Counting Crows.
Yeah.
And see where it went, because like Paul LaPolice had never had the Police played for him.
Exactly.
Before, which is like, really? But you don't know until you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I do agree with your Mr. Jones by the Counting Crows to begin.
Thank you.
I'm glad you didn't go with Bob Dylan. But we'll have to shake it up next time.
You got it. Well, I feel like Basketball Jones will be coming up on the show today. I'm not going to sing along to the beginning on the air, but I'll sing in your ear.
I'm sure you will. I know this isn't need to know, but want to say congratulations to 3 Ottawa 67s. Vinny Rohr will go to Austria's World Junior Camp. And guess what, folks? Spoiler alert, he'll make the team. Jack Mateer to Team Canada. And Tyler Boucher to the United States. And I would think, Matt, that all of those players would have a very, very, very good chance of making their respective clubs. Jack Mateer is dominating with the Ottawa 67s. I think Tyler Boucher, I think it's his time to make the U.S. team. So 3 Ottawa 67s named to the camps, and you feel good about their chances of making the team.
Absolutely. I think the only problem for Tyler Boucher is, and you talked to Kenny about it, and maybe a little bit of it unfair, given other teams escaping suspensions that Tyler Boucher can't seem to get away from. But when he's been in the lineup, he's been really effective this year, but obviously has dealt with some suspensions.
You know, and there will be, as Kenny mentioned, some suspensions coming from yesterday's game. A lot of shenanigans going on. I was 21-4, though, to begin the year. Is that good?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty, 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 pretty good.
Saw an old friend in Keith. Keith was a guy that worked at the 67s games a long time ago. Saw him recently. He said, I haven't been able to catch up. How are they doing so far? My answer? Exactly what you just played. Yeah.
Solid.
21-4. Pretty good. All right, come back. Talk a little bit about the weekend that was for the Ottawa Senators and then what they're going to do without Artem Zub when we come back here on The Drive on TSN 1200.